I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, what's playing in Debbie Allen's ear? But first, there have been a number of stories recently, and we've covered some of them, about kids who seem to have lost their minds, beating up random people on city buses, beating up their classmates, plotting to kill their teacher. It could make you think that all kids have mayhem on their minds, but it's important to remember that a lot of kids have something else on their minds. Excellence, and they're willing to work very hard to achieve it. But those kids need willing adults to help them achieve their dreams. We have a story about that for you. We found it in the pages of the Washington Post magazine, where we check in just about every week to find out things about the way we live now. This week's cover was about the Duke Ellington School of the Arts here in Washington, D.C. It's a public school dedicated to the performing arts, and earlier this year, the school took on the massive challenge of producing the hit musical The Wiz with not one, but two all-student casts. The head of school, Rory Pullins, and the theater chair, Ken Johnson, join us to talk about their bold gambit as well as the other challenges facing the school. Welcome. Thanks so much for stopping in.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Mr. Pullins, we're going to talk about the play, but first tell us about the school. How was it formed? How long has it been around? Why is it called Duke Ellington?
Well, Duke Ellington School of the Arts officially began in 1974, but even before then, in 1968, it started out as career workshops in the arts, in preparing young people to actually engage in a career in the arts. And it was so immensely popular, these workshops, these summer workshops, that it evolved and became the Duke Ellington School of the Arts in 1974, founded by Peggy Cooper Kafertz and Mike Malone, who recently passed. And since that time, it has been training young people, about 500 students per year, in eight different art disciplines, to engage them and ready them for a career in the arts, as well as just being successful academically and in every aspect of life. And we are just ecstatic that these young people are so focused and passionate about what they want in life. It just really, you know, thrills us to be able to assist them in doing what they like to do.
So Ken Johnson, talk to me about why The Wiz, why this particular production. I think people would assume that most high school, a lot of high schools sort of put on musicals, but degree of difficulty on a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 12, 13, 14?
Yes, absolutely. The Wiz has many reasons for a high school to take it on. For us, we realized that not only was the production originally a defining moment in the black theater, in the black musical theater tradition, the spectacle, the scale of production for us, whether it's costumes, whether it was the actors that we were flying in the show, whether it was the orchestra, for us, it was an opportunity to pull every element of Ellington together to showcase who we are as a school in one unified production. So The Wiz really gave us an opportunity to put on display who Ellington really is in its totality, which is why so many students were involved.
Well, you talked about the idea of pulling the whole school together. Why was that important? Because it needed every discipline to pull it off. Why was that important to you?
Well, we have eight arts departments at Ellington, and most of the time we're producing shows in within our own departments. Mr. Pullins really wanted us to come together as a school for several reasons. One, to build a stronger sense of community within the school itself. But we realized, wow, if we bring all of this together, we are going to knock people's socks off. And that's exactly what we did.
Rory Pullins, the piece makes it clear. There's some wonderful photography in the piece, too, which I would urge people to mm-hmm. look at. And you can see that there's a link on our website to the piece so people can look at it in its entirety. But when the piece makes, I don't want to give it all away, but, you know, half an hour before the production, the crow's heads still hadn't showed up. And when you thought about sort of all that it would take to put on a production like this, so complicated, technically demanding, and not with one cast, but two, was there ever a point at which you said, I don't know what I just did?
There were many times when all of us felt that, wow, we have some challenges in front of us. But you know something? That was really one of the reasons which motivated us to do this. We didn't want to do something simple. Duke Ellington and its storied history has accomplished so many things, much like our namesake, Duke Ellington. And we really wanted to push ourselves and push our students and really give them a glimpse of what it would be like in professional theater. And things like the Crow's Head not coming until a half hour before the show opened. These things happen in real theater, and it's something that, you know, you have to prepare yourself for. And we had many challenges along the way, including our fly rail system in the theater not being up to par. And so members from our partners, the Kennedy Center and from the Warner Theater, came and helped us to restore that. And we were pleased, but our clock was ticking all of the time. And so it was something that, in accomplishing this, we feel like we can do anything now. And that's very important for us to have that.
Talk to me a little bit about, though, what role you think an arts high school plays in a place like the District of Columbia. Now, people in New York, obviously, are very familiar with the High School of Performing Arts because, you know, New York is a performing arts capital. Washington isn't really sort of perceived that way. And I could argue, there are some who might argue that, you know, should this really be a priority in a city where a lot of kids still don't read at grade level? There are just a lot of, you know, challenges, infrastructure demands throughout the school system that have been sort of pretty well documented. So what would you say to people who might say, gee, you know, is it that kind of effort really... Is it really worth the time and effort, even though it was a fabulous week for the kids?
Well, it certainly is well worth the effort, because this was more than just a performance. This was an entire curriculum that our academic teachers were engaged. Think about it. You know, science teachers were talking about the scientific process of tornadoes that go on as these students are, you know, whipped up in the frenzy of a tornado on stage. And so, you know, studying the music, studying the science, the literature is critically important. It was interwoven throughout the entire curriculum of the school. So instead of being separate, the arts really is as basic as the core curriculum is itself. And our students were able to learn their academics within a context. And that's so important for young people, as they are then encouraged to read more and write more, because it's in context of something that is important to them. And so I would certainly say that this WIS production had benefits that went well beyond just performance, but also academically. When you look at the research, you clearly see that students who are exposed and deeply engaged in the arts, they are much better critical thinkers. They do better on their SAT and ACT scores. And so these kinds of things let us know that there is truly a value in the arts beyond just the artistic value that people see on the surface.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with Rory Pollans and Ken Johnson about the Duke Ellington School of the Arts and their recent production of The Wiz. So speaking of being fully immersed in the arts, a lot of the faculty at Ellington actually have been theater professionals or artistic professionals, could be working in their sort of chosen disciplines instead of teaching. So Ken Johnson, I wanted to ask you, why do you want to teach at Ellington?
Well, I spent many years in the New York theater community, New York theater, film, and television community. The opportunity to come to Duke Ellington came when the founder, Mike Malone, called and asked if I'd be interested in coming down to work. I thought, God, it'd be nice to get out of town for a year and be stationary in one place and work with some young people. I've been here for 10 years now. There is something compelling about working with young artists. In some ways, after 20 years in the professional world, you come to these young people with some information, something that you can offer them about how to go about doing this thing. And so I have found it to be the most satisfying and most challenging job I've had in my professional career. There's a purity to what we do artistically that you don't have in the artistic world. And I'm very committed to the idea that arts are a tool and a weapon. If used properly, they, I believe, are one of the ways in which we might save this planet, that this precarious planet that we all live on. And so we're helping to nurture those artistic citizens and leaders of the future. It's a very important responsibility that we all have.
Rory Pullins, you came from Denver to from a very prestigious arts and educational institution to take this position. Why did you want to come to Ellington?
You know, what's interesting, it really is true that I was minding my business in Denver, Colorado, actually having a wonderful time with the young people there, when Duke Ellington called and they were conducting a national search looking for their next leader. And I came to Washington, D.C., not necessarily thinking that I would be the selected individual, but when I arrived here and I was able to interact with the students and I could see these young people, predominantly African-American students, but also diversity of other ethnicities as well, and their passion and their love for something. And they hadn't had the opportunities that other young people may have been afforded in some other communities. I said to myself, you know, being a member of the, you know, post-civil rights movement and being able to go to college and, you know, become quite successful in my own right, to be able to give back, that's what it's all about. And to be able to work with these young people in Washington, D.C., I couldn't think of a finer group of young people than them to actually work with. And so I am just ecstatic and excited to this very day to be able to work with them, because they motivate me in so many ways to want to go to the next level and take them with us. And so that's one reason why I came to Duke Ellington in Washington, D.C., and loving it.
What do you think you could possibly do to top this one?
You know, we were talking about that very thing. What do we do for an encore? But you know something?
The ring cycle.
The you know, the talent of our staff and our students is so immense. It is so great that really the sky is the limit. We have talked about putting together an original production because we have the talent. We have the writers. We've talked about maybe doing a original salute to Duke Ellington himself and, you know, immerse all of the disciplines in something like that. We've talked about some other Broadway shows we might want to engage in. So the sky is really the limit, and the community will have to wait and see. We've got something special coming down.
I was going to say, well, don't lose my invitation to sort of whatever it is. But Ken Johnson, I don't want to call you out. But in the magazine piece, you were quoted as saying, "I don't know how much longer I'll be here. A light has come on. I think I'm nearing the end of what I have to give, and I think other journeys are calling." Were you just like wiped out by this whole experience, or what's going on?
Teaching's very
200 cast members, yeah. High school kids. Hormones.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Teaching is very demanding. Yeah. Not only that, finding the balance between being able to continue to practice your craft, having spent almost 20 years in the New York area and been away from it for 10 years, something begins to pull at you. I think the thing that made this project exciting for me is that I was able to bring a lot of my colleagues in from not only New York, but other places in the country. And that the vision that Rory is developing at Ellington is really changing a really important paradigm, where the idea of having to go somewhere else to have those kind of enriching professional experiences may be able to happen at Ellington itself.
Okay.
And so for me, as an artist, it's about maintaining that thing that you have to offer the young people. And you've got to get out of the building to do that, or you've got to bring that into the building. And that's what we did with The Wiz.
Okay. Finally, Mr. Pullins, the last question. How did the kids feel about it, what they did?
They loved it. You know, and to hear the comments from the young people, things like, "I really got a sense of what it's going to be like when I go to, you know, the next level in my artistic journey." It was critically, critically important for them to experience that. They loved it, and they grew from it, and they became closer as a family unit here at Ellington.
All right. Well, don't lose my invitation for the next big thing.
You got it.
All right. Rory Pullins is head of school. Ken Johnson is theater chair at the Duke Ellington School of the Arts. They were kind enough to join me here in our Washington studios. The piece about Ellington's production of The Wiz is called Second Act. It was written by Robin Rose Parker. If you want to read it in its entirety, you can go to our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thank you both so much, and best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you.